Welcome to Novo Ed Talks, where we reveal real-world strategies and expert insights from learning and development professionals. In every episode, we chat with practitioners, course designers, learning strategists, and business leads. We hear about their experiences in the learning industry and predictions for the profession and the trends that they're seeing. But before we get started, a little bit about Novo Ed. Founded at Stanford's Social Algorithms Lab in 2012, Novo Ed is a people-centric, capability-building platform that combines social and collaborative learning to drive performance readiness at scale. Through cohort-based experiences centered around human interaction, Novo Ed taps into collective wisdom, placing each learner at the center of perspective, application, and expertise. Large enterprises such as 3M, GE, Marriott International, and Nestle partner with Novo Ed to accelerate their critical initiatives, reconnect teams, and achieve rapid alignment through learning that is felt, experienced, and swiftly transformed into impact. Now, let's meet our guest for today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Novo Ed Talks podcast, a podcast for training trailblazers to get real. Today, I am joined by Samantha Reshes. Samantha is a Learning and Organizational Development Program Director at the Center for Learning and Innovation at Northwell Health. She has over 10 years of experience in crafting and executing transformative programs in the healthcare environment. In her current role, she works in collaboration with subject matter experts across her organization to develop and deliver ongoing education that address the various needs of healthcare leaders and team members throughout their respective development journeys. Samantha, it is such a pleasure to have you here today. Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you start by just kind of introducing yourself a little bit beyond that bio, your role and your company?
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for having me. I am Samantha Reshes. So currently I am a program director at Northwell Health, which is New York's largest health system. And as you mentioned, I work in what is known as the Center for Learning and Innovation. So that's actually considered our kind of learning and development center, almost like a corporate university in really the both clinical and professional skill building arena. So my focus is primarily team member development and then that emerging and frontline leader development, and really how we can best equip those two huge populations with the necessary tools to really succeed in their careers and ultimately create and maintain an environment that allows us to really provide the best care for our patients, right? That's the ultimate outcome. So I've been really lucky to be with the organization. I just hit my 7th year. And I actually started, I started here in an enterprise called the Feinstein Institutes for Medical Research. So that's like a research entity of Northwell. And I was involved in policy and training work there before I moved to my current role. So as someone with no healthcare background, and I really had no intention of ever coming into this space, I have been so lucky to get this big picture understanding of the industry and really the role that learning and development plays in healthcare.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. I'm sure that's been super beneficial to kind of see, have that experience going into an L&D role. Sure. You touched on it a little bit, but could you expand upon who your learners are? You know, you mentioned two kind of different groups that you work with closely. So, you know, either one of those or both that you want to discuss and maybe some of their biggest challenges.
Sure. So, I mean, simply or not simply put, our learners are everyone in the org. I mean, you know, the Center for Learning and Innovation has done a really great job at kind of diversifying offerings to meet the various needs of this myriad of roles that we have within the org. But I mean, as you can imagine, it's virtually impossible to do everything for everyone. You know, I would say healthcare certainly has similar learning challenges to other industries, but really what makes it unique and in some ways even more challenging is that healthcare isn't 9 to 5 or 5 days a week and off on holidays. It's 24/7, 365. And you really, you know, you can imagine how difficult it is that professional development is competing with much higher priorities for employees' time. And that's also including compliance training, regulatory training, education for certifications. So it's, you know, we're constantly trying to compete to be the priority. And, you know, that's difficult. And I think the biggest challenge for our learners, you know, is time, without a doubt. But of course, there's other challenges too. So you think about not necessarily having a dedicated or conducive workspace for live virtual classes or e-learning, or, you know, even just being able to sit with a job aid and read through it. And then staffing and coverage, right, for protected time. How do we, you know, create that environment where employees are encouraged to take time for themselves to develop? And then, you know, even being able to set and navigate learning goals. I think, you know, when the priority for so many of our team members is patient care or finance or, you know, any of these other things, finding that, you know, time to set aside with their supervisors or just themselves and identify what their learning goals are can really be a challenge if they've never had to do something like that before. So I think that's kind of, you know, the challenges that we face for those learners.
Absolutely. And with, like you mentioned, I just can only imagine with the competing priorities where it's like, no, this is important. It can seem hard to seem as important as, say, yeah, taking care of your patients and things like that. So how are you approaching some of those challenges?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, personally, I find it very challenging to keep up with all the trends, right? And stay on top of what is, you know, what's new, what's exciting, what's the way we should be doing things in healthcare now. You know, I joke that it feels like the minute you think you've mastered something or learned a new program, you're already behind. The next big thing has come. You know, and I'm a member of a few talent development and leadership organizations, including ATD. And so are a bunch of, you know, my colleagues and leaders. So that really helps us kind of stay connected and keep our network of peers and leaders in the industry, you know, and share best practices, collaborate. But now, you know, with the spread of AI within learning and development, we're constantly trying to keep up with what's going on and kind of how we can reinvent what we have. You know, in our organization, balancing the demand kind of has been challenging. You know, with almost 90,000 employees, it's tough enough just to get people to know that we exist. So constantly working to socialize and highlight our offerings, but also get them into a class. And then you think about the fact that this is a multi-generational, multicultural workforce. They are working a myriad of schedules. So you've got fully on-site, hybrid, and even fully remote, not in the state. And then geographically, we are widespread across all of New York and now beyond. So you're just thinking about kind of how do we approach all of these different, you know, considerations. And it's an ongoing journey for us, for sure. And we're constantly experimenting with new ideas and partnering with people, you know, leaders at different sites to think about what can we do on a local level? What should we do at a more centralized level? I mean, it's always going to be a challenge for us, a welcomed one. We welcome it, but I think it's just a given kind of based on our growth as an organization and the way of the world now.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess maybe one thing is that you guys are all probably mostly in the same time zone in New York.
For now, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't necessarily make it easier, which is kind of what my next question speaks to. You know, with the rise of remote work and where you're saying that you have some who are hybrid, some entirely virtual, how has your approach to learning and development kind of adapted to ensure that all employees are equipped with the necessary skills?
Yeah, I mean, in the past few years, I would say that maintaining a learning culture anywhere has really involved training employees on how to use things like video conferencing software and even the proper etiquette, right? It's not just about course content anymore. You know, that's not enough. It's really how do you behave in this environment? What are the expectations that we have of you? Even now, you know, 4 years post kind of the COVID rise of virtual learning, we still have slides and instructions at the start of all of our virtual classes that remind learners like how to use Zoom features like chat, raising their hand, emojis, and also things like stay muted, you know, keep your video on, make sure that you're in professional dress code, that you're not laying down or, you know, at the deli while you're taking this class. I mean, we still are doing those things. So, you know, I think this is a constant now moving forward. And it's interesting to see across the board how it's become a standard practice, but it's a necessary one, right? Like we need to kind of embed that. And, you know, now starting to see like all these discussions around AI, I think it's changing the way that we build out development journeys for team members. I mean, even things like LinkedIn Learning's AI coaching tool, right? How do you kind of incorporate that as an asset or as a supplement to what you're offering kind of from, you know, a holistic experience? So I think it's really exciting to see the continued growth of the digital landscape in L&D and what that means really for us in terms of opportunities that never existed before, but just also keeping in mind that as we continue to incorporate these new things, we have to, you know, train our team members on how to use them so that they can really get the most bang for their buck, so to speak.
Sure, absolutely. And that's something too that I think a lot of organizations, not necessarily like take for granted, but organizations where most people live their day-to-day lives on a computer, you know, most people are adapted to using Zoom and things like that. But in certain industries, such as healthcare, where that's not, you know, their main job is people to people all the time. It's like, how, you know, these little nuances that we kind of, many of us like overcame and adapted very quickly. It's like, sometimes those are still things. So it's like, how do you kind of address those while, you know, also keeping up with all of these technological advancements, but like making sure that that trickles down and is able to be educated to everyone. Yeah, I can imagine. Kind of along those same lines, you know, being at very different ends of the spectrum for some folks, how do you identify and address skills gaps within your organization?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, traditionally, similar to probably what a lot of orgs do, is we do a periodic organizational learning needs assessment, just generally speaking, to see, you know, where are skill gaps. But then we also really rely heavily, kind of on a more frequent basis, on feedback that we're getting from our learners. So, you know, post-course surveys, program surveys, and we even have started utilizing 3 to 6 months, like post-course outcome surveys that focus on kind of self-identified behavior change. You know, and in our leadership development programming, there's really more, even more extensive experiential simulation and coaching experiences that kind of help us gauge where there might be needs on a larger scale. But we also work really closely with HR and our business partners there. And, you know, looking at like the annual employee engagement survey, hearing kind of what opportunities might exist there that we can continue to kind of help strengthen the workforce and, you know, thinking about how we improve the overall work environment. And then obviously being in healthcare, this is a little unique, but we pay very close attention to the HCAHPS. So that's actually the Hospital Consumer Assessment of Healthcare Providers and Systems. So simply put, like when you leave, you know, you go to a hospital or a doctor, you'll get a survey and, you know, it'll ask, how was your experience? And, you know, we use that data to really identify not only what can we do better in terms of patient care, but thinking about the ripple effect, what skill gaps might exist that are kind of trickling down to impact the way that we care for patients. So there's definitely like a full-fledged approach. It's not just one way. I think we have to really kind of take it from different angles because of the industry that we're in. It's not just like one metric that determines, you know, okay, we're doing great or we're not. It's really a matter of like, okay, based on all of these different things, where can we, you know, best support the org? What's the pain point?
Sure. Yeah. I love that you also take kind of the actual patient's assessment of, you know, their care as well and into consideration into that. It's amazing. So you kind of just spoke to this, but do you have any other kind of core KPIs that you're measuring that you, you know, either report to the back to the team or up to your superiors?
Yeah, I mean, this is probably, you know, a broken record with everyone in L&D, but or in any industry really, but retention and turnover is probably the biggest, right? You know, what are the connections between development, involvement in leadership programs and, you know, promotions, people staying in the org, people, you know, keeping their teams. It's an ongoing process for us, right? I think it's always tough to kind of make those direct correlations with soft skills, but it's definitely been a top priority. On the clinical side, right, I think there are more direct correlations between development and application just based on kind of the nature of the work. But on the corporate and administrative side, it's definitely harder. We have a lot more hands on deck in terms of how we're kind of making those connections. But on the flip side, it's really a great reason for us to collaborate with a lot of our partners and, you know, HR and beyond. And really, I think it helps other parts of the organization see kind of what impact we have, which is always great. So, you know, that's the big one for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you point to like a specific case study or initiative that significantly kind of impacted employee performance that you could say like, hey, we could tell this worked because of X, Y, and Z?
Yeah, I mean, so I would actually argue that Northwell probably has had many, especially in, you know, the L&D space. I mean, you could say really the creation of this Center for Learning and Innovation, which was done many years ago, represented a commitment right from our CEO that team member development is important. And this was way before kind of it became a hot button item and, you know, it was everywhere. And that was kind of a focus for people. We were ahead of our time. And then since then, I think we have really worked to kind of continuously offer new programming at all levels. And, you know, like I said, we're catering to 87,000 plus employees. So you're dealing with people who are fresh out of high school or college, all the way up to executive leaders and chief physicians, people who are masters of their craft. So that's not a small feat. Like that right there is something to be proud of. And our growth, you know, is proof that this has been successful continuously. But I mean, at this point, we have multiple nomination-based cohort programs. And then at the same time, we offer ongoing development for those who want to learn at their own pace or might not qualify for a program. So, you know, we've really done a great job at kind of creating that well-rounded experience. But then we also have really extensive onboarding programs. So I think one of the best examples, kind of to your point, is our new leader onboarding. So this used to be many years ago, it started out as kind of a really robust one-day, you know, session. And then after kind of 2 years or so of planning in 2023, it was actually pivoted to a really expansive full year program that combines in-person and virtual components. And it is mind-blowing the response that we have received from participants and executives alike. It's such an impressive initiative, and we're still kind of sifting through all of the data to kind of make those correlations with turnover reduction and, you know, retention and promotions. But just like the qualitative response, you know, the feedback that we've gotten up to this point has been so impressive. And it's just really exciting to kind of see this continue to grow. So I would say kind of most recent case, that's a great example.
That's awesome. What role does technology play in your L&D programs? You've kind of mentioned it here and there, but how do you leverage different tools and platforms to enhance L&D across the organization?
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, you can't really have an L&D program without a technology or technological components. I mean, otherwise, you're basically a dinosaur. But I mean, pretty much at this point, all of our programming is a combination. So, you know, we've got live virtual, live in person, and then we also have, you know, e-learning modules. We have LinkedIn Learning. We incorporate kind of online resources. So it's not just about kind of reach anymore. It's really about diversifying offerings for engagement and keeping things new and fresh and different. You know, we use things like Teams and Zoom. We use Poll Everywhere. You know, we try to, you know, experiment with like metaverse opportunities and how we can explore other platforms that encourage kind of social gathering and, you know, gamification, et cetera. But you know, it's just not enough for us to have that live class in a classroom anymore. It's not enough. Learners really want to know, like, what do I do next? And technology really has been kind of that big asset for us to be like, okay, this is how we continue the learning journey. This is what you do. This is, you know, what you can access. So I think it's, you know, just kind of putting the puzzle pieces together in different ways to create unique experiences for people. But we're constantly evolving in the things that we're testing and trying. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Kind of thinking about just L&D in healthcare in general, you know, with all the changes over the past 5 years, what are some key takeaways that you've seen, you know, at your organization and at a bigger scale as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing, we've talked about this, probably red threaded it through everything so far, but it's the need for flexibility, right? Like you can't stay stagnant in healthcare or in L&D. And I think it's even more prevalent now, right? Like in this post-COVID world where, you know, so many of us kind of went through what learning and development looked like during COVID. It was, you know, very frequently put on the back burner. And, you know, how do you like slip it in and when was it appropriate? And I think just understanding that. And I think the other piece, which we kind of talked about before, was being patient, right? Being patient with learners, being patient with, you know, the industry, being patient with the situation at hand. I would say the biggest thing that I've learned in, you know, my many roles at Northwell is that your audience is coming with a myriad of differences, right? Whether it's generation, work experience, background, expertise, you know, things going on in their day, it doesn't matter. So you know, we think about everything has changed for us as L&D professionals, but it's also changed for them. And we have to kind of keep that in mind when we're designing new learning initiatives. You know, it sounds obvious, right? But I think it's natural when we're like knee deep in an exciting new project and we can't wait to see it come to fruition. It's easy for us to forget that, you know, the people on the other end are not just coming in as blank slates, but they're, you know, coming in with all of these other things that we need to consider. So I definitely think patience and flexibility are the big ones.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously the need to, you know, carry those into the future. But what other, you know, future trends do you see kind of emerging for L&D that you think will really kind of take hold in the next 5 years?
I mean, I think hybrid is here to stay, right? I think this is a given, but I think virtual learning has really changed the way that we learn and the way that we offer learning. I also think, and this is a big one, is that learning and development really has become a crucial part of the employee experience, right? It's not just like an HR thing anymore, or, you know, like a medical education thing. It really has its own foundation in kind of what employees want as part of their experience at an organization. I mean, and there's a ton of research to support how this is a deciding factor now when people are choosing where to work, what organizations even to interview for. You know, it's not just a nice to have, it's really a need for retention and satisfaction of employees and then overall success of an organization. So I think we're going to hopefully continue to see across all industries an emphasis on building that structure where learning can be prioritized in organizations, and then, you know, how we kind of integrate technology into that experience for people.
Sure, absolutely. I think that, you know, like on the flip side, on the employee side of it, you know, everyone sees how rapidly things are evolving and no one wants to be at a place that's not going to like help
right.
evolve them along as well.
Yeah.
And then as our last question, Samantha, this is always my favorite one, as a fun send-off, what advice would you give to those just stepping into a leadership role?
So I think the most important thing is to listen. And I mean, to really listen, listening to your customers, your stakeholders, your partners, your team, and then of course yourself, right? Leaning on your career crew, listening to your mentors. You know, without a doubt, I think listening to hear and not just to respond really makes the difference in our ability to make an impact across all fronts. You're going to get a lot of information, a lot of noise, but when you're really listening, I think that's what makes the difference in kind of what you do next. So without a doubt, listen.
I love that. That's a great, this is such a like simple one, an important one,
yeah.
But one that so many people don't necessarily always do.
Yeah.
Samantha, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure having you on today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
And thank you to all our listeners for tuning in once again to NovoEd Talks.